Last week, for those of you that were here, you might recall that the focal point of our message was dealing with the call, the calling in your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ was called by his Father and received the gift of baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and Jesus was introduced to the people in the words of his Father, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This morning, for a few minutes, we're going to focus on another question that perhaps goes even a little bit deeper. And that question is, who are you? Not whose are you, who you've been called by, but who are you? It is that great existential question, who am I? And I do, as a backdrop for this morning, refer back to 1 Corinthians, our first or second lesson this morning, chapter 1, verse 18. Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Who are you? Shortly after World War II, an American journalist was in a veterans hospital writing a story, doing a follow-up on a number of veterans having returned from the war, asking questions, documenting their comments, their reflections on returning from a war, many recovering from injuries of the body, the soul, and the mind. This journalist noticed a man that was wandering up and down through one of the wards in the hospital. And as he got a little closer to look into who this gentleman was, he realized that this man, this returned GI from a combat zone, was going up and down asking other hospital residents, "Can you tell me who I am?" He noticed, as this man made his way from one resident to another, that the respondents stared back at this man in disbelief. "Can you tell me who I am?" It must have been a tragic sight to see a man who was suffering from amnesia, a casualty of war. But it's a question that's repeated in our culture, in a culture in which the people, many, have lost their moorings and their identity. It's a question that you might find more difficult to answer than you might think at first. So think about that question in your own experience. Who are you? Who am I? Many of us identify ourselves by our family and what we do. Well, I'm a dad. I'm the son of so-and-so. I'm the daughter of so-and-so. I have a wife, or I'm a husband. I have children. I have a family. Some of us identify ourselves by our occupation. I attended a spiritual renewal weekend 15 years ago, and on the opening night, we were sitting around at tables, and we were given the instructions to visit with one another, become acquainted, but you cannot ask or answer the question, as men, what do you do? And it made it kind of tough for some guys to get to know each other if you can't bring up what you do. That's one of the first things we do. Sometimes we identify ourselves, tragically, by reason of our failures. And we can look back in history, and even modern history, and see people who were somewhat defined by their failures, although for some, it was a springboard into a change in their life and their direction. Albert Einstein, it's interesting to notice, for example, failed algebra at the high school level. Some of us find we're in good company, don't we? Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team as a sophomore. Abraham Lincoln and Harry Truman both had failed businesses before ascending to the presidency. What's the trouble, Harper? Our second lesson today, we sort of sometimes plop right down the middle of a lesson, but this, here we are in 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing the first of two letters. It's a letter addressed to a very early church, and they are a people in crisis. And part of the crisis is fueled by who and what Corinth is. Corinth is, of course, and to this day, a Greek city. but it was a crossroads of commerce in its day. It had two natural harbors, so it was a place, it was a community that was perpetually flooded with travelers and traders. The people of Corinth were steeped very heavily in Greek culture. There were a diversity of beliefs in this city. And the city in the time of Christ contained at least 12 different temples, all to different deities, different gods. In addition to this, the village of Corinth was accompanied by what's termed by one commentator as an unbridled immorality, a sin city of its day. In fact, the phrase was known at the time to go out and raise some Cain on a Friday night. We're going to go out and Corinthianize tonight. Just imagine being your town's name used in such a manner. Well, this fractured culture helped spawn some factions that arose in the early church in Corinth. The factions aligned themselves with various leaders, the Apostle Paul, Apollos, Cephas or Peter, and some even Christ himself. What Paul purports to do in this letter, and he does so in the very first chapter and throughout the writing of this letter, is to draw them back to their true identity. A sort of like reset button at a bowling alley. Reset, and all the pins are reset and in line. Think about that in your own life, and think about that even in terms, perhaps, of your own church experience. How important it is from time to time to go back and relook, re-examine, what is your identity? Who are you? In just a few moments, we're going to be bringing two small, beautiful young children forward to be baptized. Part of our service, based on the writings of Paul and other scriptures, are indicated in the words, "You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." Little Grady and little Bergen are going to be given an identity. And the identity is not simply some new fad religion or some popular ideas or philosophies of the age. It is the ancient old symbol of the Christian faith, the cross. The cross will be put upon them, will be marked with the cross of Christ forever. And to all of us who've been baptized and who name Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have been given this same identity. And when that cross is put upon you, and when you confess Christ as Savior and Lord by faith, you become a marked man or a marked woman. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, given that seal, the great seal of the president. We see when the president travels, wherever he goes, there is on the podium the great seal. That seal is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. How central is the cross in your life? How often does the subject or the whole notion of the cross of Jesus Christ come up for you in a given day? Sadly, the cross has become for many simply a piece of jewelry, a piece to wear on a necklace around our neck, or perhaps in a tattoo or some other part of the body, but meaning little more than just that. Empty of its power. A religious symbol, yes, but maybe much, much more than that. The Apostle Paul reminds followers in the village of Corinth, in the church in Corinth, it is our very identity. In this same spiritual renewal weekend I attended some years ago, I remember the question being asked in one of our times, and we sat and thought about our lives and our identity and a time of confession of who we are and what we've become, and the question was raised, have I centered the cross on my walls but not in my life? but I sent it across of my wall, but not in my life. Now, Paul points something out in our concluding verse of our first lesson this morning. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, it has very little meaning, no depth to those who don't understand or seek to live in that promise. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Who would have thought it? Truth is stranger than fiction. The power of the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God is represented in the symbol of execution of all things. Jim Anderson a few minutes ago pointed out in Scripture, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And what's the concluding part of that verse? And to give his life as a ransom for many. Who are you this morning? How do you identify yourself? We can think of a lot of different answers, a lot of different markers in our lives, and they're all good things that identify who we are, what family we're from, where we live, our careers, our other family members. But fundamentally, at the core of that question is the answer. You've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. Jesus Christ, our Savior, crucified and risen, is our true identity. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.